at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The Texas county judge, who decided no autopsy was needed after the death of Antonin Scalia, is raising new questions about the health of the Supreme Court justice in the days before he died. Presidio County Judge Cinderella Guevara told the Associated Press she spoke to Scalia's doctor on the day the justice was found dead at a remote West Texas ranch. The doctor told her Scalia had a history of heart trouble and high blood pressure and was considered too weak to undergo surgery for a shoulder injury. Those details are at odds with what Scalia's friends have been saying. They describe Scalia as his usual self in the days before he died. Unlike presidents, the high court's members don't provide regular health disclosures. We've been hearing for days now how Scalia's death in West Texas set off a political battle in Washington. On one side, a president determined to name a successor. On the other, Republicans arguing to wait until a new president takes office in 11 months. Scalia, too, was a divisive figure, a brilliant writer and jurist whose caustic wit could lacerate opponents. Dallas attorney and author Brian Garner collaborated with Scalia on a pair of books, and the two became friends in the process. Today on Think, Garner told Chris Boyd that Scalia was actually quite open to having his mind changed.
He was a very persuadable man. I mean, I found...
Really?
Yes, yes. We made, 35 appearances together where we would team teach. He would tell audiences that most of the time when he and I began disagreeing on some point, a majority of the time he came around to my point of view. And I think that that was true. But before that happened, he would hit me very hard. I mean, I would get a blast of an email, and he would say, I absolutely disagree with you on this. But if I had something good coming back, I found him to be very persuadable. And so what we shared was a love of language, a love of rhetoric, a love of clear exposition and clear thinking. Of course, a lot of people misunderstand Justice Scalia, I think, by somehow equating his methods of decision-making just with the votes that were delivered as opposed to the reasoning involved. And I think that's something that is frequently lost. People talk about how passionate he was. Well, he was passionate about the American form of government and about the separation of powers. It's not as if a vote cast this way or that way is the most important thing a justice does. A justice's lasting impact is through clear judicial writing.
Brian Garner teaches at SMU and edits Black's Law Dictionary. Think re-airs tonight at 9, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. And when Texans start heading to the polls for early voting tomorrow morning, they'll get to boost their choice for each party's presidential nominee. Some will also be choosing sides in fierce battles over seats in the state legislature. KERA's Christopher Connolly reports that millions of dollars are aimed at swaying Republicans in North Texas.
The Texas Republican Party is at war with itself, according to political scientist Mark Jones from Rice University.
There's a battle taking place across the entire state of Texas, from out in Lubbock over to Tyler and Longview, down into Houston, between the two different wings of the Texas Republican Party, its more centrist conservative wing and its movement conservative wing.
Nowhere is this division more on display than in North Texas, where a handful of races may prove pivotal in shaping the focus of the state house. In a race expected to top $1 million, newcomer Beau French is trying to run to the right of Charlie Guerin, who represents Northwest Tarrant County.
Charlie Guerin has been in office for over 15 years. It's time for a change. Beau French is a conservative who will represent our values. A businessman, family man, and community leader, Beau French will defend our constitutional rights, protect the Second Amendment, and secure our border.
French's biggest donations come from a couple of West Texas billionaires funneling money into campaigns to push the legislature further to the right and take out allies of House Speaker Joe Strauss. Guerin is one of Strauss's closest lieutenants, and he's fired back with six-figure ad buys, complete with Alamo-era cannons.
Washington raised taxes, killed jobs, and ignored the Constitution. So Texas cut taxes by $4 billion, created jobs, and defunded Planned Parenthood. When Washington fails to defend your rights, Texas steps in.
In the mid-cities, three one-time Tea Party insurgents are defending their seats against challengers more in line with the establishment wing of the party. All sides are spending big on TV ads and mailers, and they're raising hundreds of thousands of dollars from PACs, lobbyists, and individual donors.
You know, if you go back 20 years, people ran for the state legislature with shoe leather and maybe enough money to run a few ads in the newspaper. And that was it. So it would not be uncommon for somebody to run for the state legislature with $5,000.
Jim Riddlesberger is a political scientist at Texas Christian University. He says six and even seven-figure races for seats in state legislatures are the new normal, and there are a host of reasons for that. In state houses across the country, political parties are not the power brokers they used to be.
We have moved away from politics dominated by party organizations to politics dominated by individuals now. And so individuals running for public office are their own free agents in terms of raising money.
Fundraising can be defensive. Incumbents build up war chests to deter primary challengers. More than anything, though, running campaigns is just more expensive, according to Brandon Rottinghouse at the University of Houston. Polling is more difficult, advertising is more targeted, and consultants are more important than ever.
Getting your message in front of people requires more creative tools, that requires better data, and then that requires a lot of money. So the kind of know-how that you're buying now is a lot different than it was, you know, 20 years ago.
In the end, though, Rottinghouse says all of this money is being used to draw contrast between candidates whose politics aren't really all that far apart.
It's like, you're going to smoke your brisket on pecan or you're going to smoke it on oak, right? It's more or less the same thing, slightly difference in terms of flavor, but at the end of the day, you're going to have smoked meat.
Still, he says, if you've got a flavor preference for Austin politics, the primary is the time to vote. Only a few state house races will be truly competitive this fall. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
A reminder, early voting begins tomorrow and runs through February 26. Texans can cast their ballots at any early voting location in the county where they're registered. Voters must present one of seven acceptable forms of photo identification, including a Texas driver's license. The general election is November 8th. Grammy night is a big one for the music industry, and tonight's awards could be big for several North Texas musicians. One group has already taken home a second Grammy. The a cappella group Pentatonix won the Best Arrangement, Instrumental, or a cappella category. The group got their start at Theater Arlington and on a music competition called The Sing-Off in 2011. They won their award for the song Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. Another Grammy hopeful tonight, Fort Worth's R&B sensation Leon Bridges. Almost 2 years ago, he was working as a dishwasher in Tarrant County. Now, he's up for a Grammy after his first album. The 26-year-old is a favorite of our sister station KXT and is nominated for Best R&B Album.
Baby, 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 I'm coming home to your tender, sweet loving, you're my one and only one.
The award show starts in about half an hour on CBS. For the evening, mostly clear skies, low around 48. Tomorrow should be sunny with the high near 74, and tomorrow night mostly clear, again, a low around 48. It's about 67 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.